Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Listen, you're watching and listening to Peak to Pit, Allie Peak, TJ Pittinger, talking all things FSU and Florida in the college football offseason. Got a little product placement here with the Chick-fil-A. If they want to sponsor us, that would be great.
Yeah, what are they waiting on?
What are they waiting on? This house, like, lives on Chick-fil-A. The Lord's chicken gets consumed in this house at least once a week.
Yeah, we went today. We were trying to kill some time. We were trying to kill some time because Dad forgot that Bryant had a dentist appointment. But if I would have remembered that, we wouldn't have been killing time. But I was like, hey, you guys want some ice cream? And they were like, Chick-fil-A ice cream? And I was like, yeah, you get it every time we get a kid's meal, but I usually just eat it. But this time I went and got it and gave it to him. And I got a large Chick-fil-A drink too. So yeah, I'm all about it. If they'd like to pay us, that'd be great. Peak to Pit brought to you by Brunt Insurance. You can give Greg and the team a call if you're watching, if you're listening to this, 954-589-2204 for all of your insurance needs. We'll give them a plug and a shout out again a little bit later, but let's jump right into it. I wanted to talk to you tonight. If you guys are watching, if you guys listen later, make sure that you're commenting, make sure you subscribe to the channel. We're kind of switching up some of the way that we do content and some of the way that we talk about the Noles and Gators. So do us a favor and hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up button. And then we'd love to see your comments. We'd love to kind of hear what you guys think about what we're saying as well. But tonight we want to talk about the 2023 season. And I posed a question, Allie. We talked about this a little bit, and we're not going to agree here. So if you're new to the channel, this is just what happens. We're not going to necessarily agree, but for good reason, I think. Is the 2023 football season more important for the Florida Gators or for the Florida State Seminoles? Obviously, every fan is going to take their side, because if things are well and going good with your team, who cares what your rival is doing? But I think there are probably arguments for both. I can see arguments for both. Obviously, as an FSU fan, I'm going to take the FSU side of this. As a Gator fan, I would expect you to do the same. But I can see both sides of this. I do want to talk about it, though, and kind of get some of your thoughts. So let's start with Florida first. Let's talk a little bit about what you think and why this year is so important for UF. And then I'll chime in with some thoughts, and then we'll move on to Florida State and then see how much we can argue tonight.
So I actually think this is going to be slightly shocking to you, but I think the 2023 season is more important for Florida State than it is for Florida. Curveball coming your way.
Maybe play heel. All right. Very good.
Right. Okay. So I'll tell you why. Both seasons are important, right? I mean, I think every season is important, but I think both seasons are important for totally different reasons, or maybe not totally different reasons, actually, now that I think about it. But this is Napier's second year. This is going to be his first year with majority Napier recruited players, whether that's guys that he signed in his bump class, or whether that's guys, more importantly, truly, I think that came over from the transfer portal, or that were in his first signing class, because those are the guys making more of an impact this upcoming year, right? Like, odds are his bump class isn't having a ton of starters this season from there, but he's run off, or they've chosen to go in opposite, a different direction. Most of Mullen's players, guys that were still there, I would say that this is probably a 75-25 Napier to Mullen team at this moment, which means now it's time to live or die by the guys you brought in for your system. I think this season is important in that the way this season goes will determine whether year three is the last opportunity he gets, or maybe he'll be like Norvell and he gets, you know, a 4 or 5 out of that. But I think it's important for that reason. But I don't think it's important in that regardless of what happens in this season, I don't believe he's going anywhere unless there's some sort of scandal that happens off the field or something like that. Like, I don't think there's a scenario where he leaves, he gets fired after only his second season, no matter how this year goes. I think that seat could potentially get really, really hot, but he's going to be here no matter what.
Do you think, okay, so we say that, but like if they go 2-10, I think they would fire him, right? Like I know that. So like, I just don't really foresee a way that Florida goes 2-10. Like, I will back up and say that. Like, I think that there's enough on the schedule where really the floor, I mean, for the Gators
is there like a doomsday wins. Scenario? Probably.
Because like, if you're 2-10, then you're like losing the locker room. So like, that's the only. Now again, I don't foresee Florida going 2-10, but I think they
that's
would.
That's a doomsday scenario. I think it's very, very, very unlikely one that 2-10 happens. But I think there's not a lot of potential scenarios where Napier doesn't get a year three. I think it would have to be like a really drastic situation. And I don't foresee that happening. I honestly think that he's too organized and too good of a CEO to hit the floor that low, which would be required. I mean, I think McElwain was gone after 2.5 years, which is the shortest tenure of Florida coaches in any recent memory. And some of that had to do with his own relationship with the media. Some of that had to do with the fact that there were players going to like Gainesville Health and Fitness to work out and hiring their own trainers. And that was getting out. Like, I don't think it really had just to do with the product on the field, why McElwain didn't get that full third year. I think that there was other off the field things, at play. So it's going to more than likely he will be here for year three. Now, whether or not that seat is really hot for year three obviously does depend completely on year two. I think, so let's say Florida wins 7 to 8 games this year. I think you then got to win 10 in year three. If you win 10 in year three, you absolutely get a year four and you kind of, you know, go on from there. But the seat is hot if there's less than 7 to 8 wins. And, you know, I've been watching your Twitter and you come on the show and you tell me you think that this schedule is harder than last year's schedule. And I said it was easier or whatever. And then you're on Twitter talking about how it should be easy for Florida to get 10 wins. So I don't know this trolling that you're doing, TJ.
Yeah, you got to leave don't bite on any of the Twitter stuff. Although I will say, but here's what's tough, you know, completely, completely realistic. When you look at the amount of talent, right, just straight talent that Florida is going to have on their roster.
Sure.
Compared to every other team that they play, they should win 8 to 9 games this year, right?
Yeah.
Especially considering the games that are probably toss-ups. Like, when you look at the amount of talent on Florida State's roster and Florida's, though Florida State brings back a lot of guys, when you look at how people were recruited and where all of that falls, blue chip ratio, Florida's got a better blue chip ratio than Florida State does going into the 2023 campaign. And so when you look at that, Florida should win.
Yeah, but
Florida shouldn't be losing to the Kentuckys of the world, and they shouldn't be losing to the Vandys of the world. And if you literally just flip those two, Florida gets to 8 wins regular season, and they probably care more about their bowl game and make it to 9 just last year. And so, like, I don't think that that's a wildly outrageous take, that you just need to beat the teams that you need to beat. Like, Florida should not lose to acceptable losses to me for Florida this year are Georgia. I think LSU is an acceptable loss. I don't know that Tennessee is. Utah is probably an acceptable loss. Like, I think that game is fine if Florida loses that first game of the year out in Utah. And I think Florida State's an acceptable loss, but I think that's a game that Florida should be in. And so I think you're looking at like 3 games where you'd say, okay, yeah, Florida could lose these games. And I don't, like, they can't lose to Arkansas. They can't lose to Kentucky again this year. They can't drop one to Missouri. They can't drop to South Carolina, which they did a good job against them last year. So, like, when you look at the amount of talent that Florida has, they need to win these games.
So,
then that's an issue.
The example that you brought up with Florida State, when you're saying Florida has more blue chip talent, they do. But when you look at a team that is now going into that'll be year five for Norvell. It's completely his guys, completely his system. I think that there is the difference between a very talented team that is just learning how to play together under this coach than Florida State playing under the same coach for the last 5 years. I mean, I think that is not a great example. Now, should Florida beat Missouri every time? Yes. Kentucky every time. Vandy every single time. I think all of those things are true. South Carolina will be interesting because they were really trending upwards towards the end of the year. So if they pick up right where they left off, then I think that it is totally in the realm of possibilities that South Carolina is in that game. I think that that team is trending in the right direction. So, you know, will they start the season at that same place? I don't know. You know, time will tell on that. But I think that South Carolina is an incredibly talented team that Florida has historically had problems with.
Yeah, tough game. Here's what's tough, right?
You look at South Carolina as a trap game. It is. Yeah. I mean,
what's tough. And I agree with you to an extent that
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's a difference between Florida State and Florida because those guys have been in Norvell's system for longer. He's been their coach, whatever, all that stuff. That might be true with Florida State, but then you look across the SEC to LSU, and you know that argument doesn't hold up as much, right? Because those guys,
but LSU has had higher ranked talent for the last 10 years than Florida. So, yes, do they have a new coach? They absolutely do. But if you're – the talent on LSU's roster is still better than the talent that's on Florida's roster. If you're looking at roster as a whole. I want Florida to beat LSU, but I think that that's a different – that's – LSU is different than looking at Arkansas, than looking at Vanderbilt, than looking at Missouri, than looking at even South Carolina, and even getting to
different.
Tennessee.
I definitely think they're different. And here's what I would look at when you look at the total team composites, right? Which we've talked about in the past. LSU was 8, Florida was 14, and Florida State was 17. So they were all within about 9 spots, right?
Yeah, but
and
you're I know that's the big gaps between
right. I know that's a big difference, but like when you look at the totality of college football and there's 130 teams, 9 spots
those
at the top of college football
legitimately have a spot in playing in a playoff or, their conference championship or whatever else. It's not that many.
Well, we're talking about
not 17.
We're talking about 3 teams that all played each other within 1 score. LSU and Florida State, 1 score. Florida and Florida State, 1 score. LSU and Florida, was it 10 late? But I think it was like a 1 score game until like maybe LSU kicked them. So, I mean, we're not talking about like teams that are well above. But Florida was the team that came out on the losing end of really, really close games last year.
Right.
Between both those teams. And so that's where I think Florida, again, I'm not saying they need to beat LSU next year. I think that that's probably a game that, you know, going into Baton Rouge, they probably end up dropping. But I do think it, you know, Florida is going to be the more talented team in Billy's second year with his players probably 7 times this year. So
sure.
Like if you think,
I think
you
that's
know,
a fair
Georgia,
statement.
Georgia, Utah, LSU, Florida State.
I mean,
and then
looking
Tennessee's
at this
maybe
schedule.
Tennessee's maybe a question mark, So I think you need to win 7 or 8 games. And then you probably need to find a way to upset somebody. Like, you need to find a way. Like, that's what college football, like, you got to find a way to upset somebody you're not supposed to. Florida actually did a good job with that last year by beating Utah week 1. They just never really capitalized on it and kind of let things slip away. Florida State did a good job of that last year week 1, beating a team that they weren't supposed to beat. But I think that's something that Florida needs to get to is that 8-9-ish win mark.
Florida, I mean, looking at Florida's schedule, outside of Georgia, where I still think that there is a massive talent gap, Florida should be in every single game on their schedule next year. Does that mean that they win them? Obviously not. But I think looking at the schedule, I don't think that there is a game on there outside of Georgia where it's not going to be a dogfight. But honestly, looking at it, I do think there's an outside possibility. Florida's going into Georgia 7-0. I think the biggest question mark on the first chunk of the season is a toss-up between Utah and Tennessee. Florida opens with Utah. They can go to Salt Lake, walk away with the victory. They come home and have McNeese State. That means that they're going into Tennessee in Gainesville 2-0, having beat, you know, a ranked Utah team at that point. Hendon Hooker, no matter how fast his recovery is not going to be back by week 3. So you take care of business there. Week 4, you get Charlotte. That should be a no-brainer. Week 6, you get Kentucky. That game is in Kentucky, which is another one of those, like, Florida plays them close all the time. Could be a trap game, but you beat Kentucky. The next week, you've got Vanderbilt. You should take care of business at Vanderbilt. Then you've got South Carolina. It's in Columbia. So, again, it's a tougher place to play. It's a place that Florida struggled in the past. But you get through there, you're going into Georgia 7-0. I think the second half of the season, the way that it is lined up, is tougher. You have Georgia. You should beat Arkansas. But then you've got LSU. You should beat Missouri, but then you've got Florida State. So your biggest challenges are the second half of the season, which I think kind of bodes well for a team that is going to be figuring things out with each other, that is talented, but is going to have to figure out, do we gel? Do we fully get the system? Do we buy into what's going on? And if you're going to have a nice season, you want those bigger games in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, again, shocker here. I don't know that I agree. I think there are a lot of challenges in that front half, too.
I don't remember LSU ever being this late in the season. It's November 11th, which is crazy because it is always the first week of October-ish.
Yeah, always a lot earlier. But I do think there are a lot of challenges in that front end. Like, if they go into that Georgia game 7-0, I think they ought to build Napier a statue because I think the fact that Utah on the road is really, really tough.
Yeah, I mean,
with a team that is almost brand new. I mean, Florida brings back, we'll talk about returning production, but Florida brings back about 52% of the returning production. I just think that that's going to be really tough week 1. Again, Tennessee, I think, could be really tough, even if it is Milton. He looks great against Clemson.
Milton looks great. And
you know, at Kentucky, I think Kentucky did a really good job of getting – not that I think all three of these teams win, but I think Kentucky did a really good job of getting Leary. And I think they're going to have a really good quarterback again next year. And, you know, that's always just kind of a weird, awkward place. And then, like you said, South Carolina is really, really tough. I'm not making a joke with this, but, I mean, Florida can't even overlook Vandy, I mean, based on what happened last year. So, I don't know, 7-0.
Well, I'm not saying they are going 7-0. I just think that it is a possibility that they go in 7-0. I mean, Florida doesn't run the table this season. Don't get me wrong. There's losses to come. I just think that the tougher matchups are the second half of the season. Florida will drop some. It's not like they're going undefeated or anything like that. But I think I personally would prefer the tougher matchups the second half of the year. I think that if you are going to have a shot in them, better to get them in November than it is to get them in September.
So we'll talk in another video, another episode about expectations. So you've got Florida State as the more important, more important year for either team. And so I'll agree with that. Obviously I'll take the Noles on this too. I think that you're spot on about Florida. I think that how Florida's season goes doesn't really matter, again, unless it's like a 1-11 or 2-10 type scenario where things are going completely off the rails and you lose a locker room and stuff, then it's probably just best to make a change. But if they go anywhere from 6-6 to 8-4, like I just don't think it really matters. I mean, 8-4, I think would probably feel pretty good.
I think
good.
8-4 would be great. I maybe think get that 9 that's a in step. A bowl.
But yeah, I think as long as you're like around the 5-7, 6-6, 7-5 range, I mean, then it's a mirror image of what Norvell's year 3 was, right? It's like, all right, well, two underperforming years to start. We need to be better year 3. And, you know, Florida State was able to do that, and it would be on Billy to make sure that 2024 was better for UF. So, yeah, I kind of agree with that. I don't think the year – not that it doesn't matter, but I think he's still got the pass. Unless things just go crazy, he's still got the pass. Florida State's year, going to come in with a lot of expectations. We'll talk about expectations later. But why do you have Florida State in this spot as being the year being a little bigger for them?
So a couple reasons. I think that expectations is a big part of it. Florida State finished the season with 10 wins. I think there's a lot of hype going into this offseason. There'll be a lot of hype to start camp. And so that will be an added pressure that Florida State hasn't felt in this locker room under Norvell. They haven't felt the pressure of, we should win our conference. We should take care of, you know, everybody but Clemson on our schedule. Maybe LSU, I guess, because you guys open with LSU. But like looking at Florida State's roster and looking at their schedule, they should, at a minimum, go 10-2. And that's a lot of pressure, I think, for a team that hasn't felt that type of pressure. The other thing that I think is that Norvell, there's a lot of expectations and pressure because his recruiting has to improve. If you get 10 wins, let's say he goes ahead and gets 10 wins this season, but is still going to finish somewhere, you know, between 10 and 15 recruiting wise, I don't think that gets Florida State a national title. So then you have to start thinking about, where are our expectations? Are we okay with a 10 win season year in and year out and playing in our conference championship most of the time, and that being, or do we need to bring in a better recruiter? And I think, and I'm not saying Florida State needs to fire Norvell by any means. I just think there's going to be a lot of pressure because in the beginning it was, how can we expect him to recruit a highly signed class when this team has, you know, wins 5 games or does whatever? Like, he's going to have to rebuild this whole image to get recruits to come here. Well, now he has. Now he's won 10 games. But to be a contender on a regular basis, you are going to need to finish at least top 8 all of the time, but there's an argument to be made for top 5 two of every 4 years or something like that, to at least have a shot at continually being a playoff team. And so I think the pressure's on now to prove that he can do that. He's done a great job in the transfer portal. I think he's done a good job signing guys of need to positions of need, but he hasn't cracked that upper echelon of recruiting. And so I do think there's got to be pressure there.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and I think you're spot on. I think he absolutely has to recruit better. They should sign a pretty good, pretty large class this year. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's not like, which they have a 5-star committed there, they have another 5-star that they're heavily in the mix for. And a lot of people would say that, you know, Florida State leads for him. So if they're able, you know, last year, two teams signed more than one 5-star. Eight teams signed more than one 5-star. So, I mean, that, you know, if you're only one of 8 teams to do that on any given year, and I'm sure there's some years that number 6, some years it's 10. I'm sure it fluctuates within there. So if you're one of the only 8 teams to sign 2 elite guys, I mean, yeah, that certainly takes them a step forward. But even with that, it's going to be a huge class because they had so many guys come back this year,
right?
That last COVID year of eligibility that are going to be gone next year. No matter how good or bad this season goes,
sure.
Jordan Travis and Johnny Wilson and Trey Benson and Jared Verse and 2 or 3 offensive linemen and Fabian Lovett, who came back, both linebackers are going to be gone. You know, like there's going to be a lot of guys that move on. And so they're going to be able to take a lot of kids, first of all. And so I think that, if he can't, now again, wheels go off, you know, they get way off the rails and way off track and win 7 games this year, then yeah, they're not going to recruit the top 10 class. I don't think. I think they lose a lot of those guys. But if they do about what they should and win 9, 10, 11 games somewhere in there, then I think, yeah, you should certainly see a top 10-ish class, right? Like, I think you should be in that 7 to 10 range, if not better, you know, but to be better than that, then you're talking about ups, you know, upseating some of those absolute elite powers, right? Like who are you knocking out of the top five, right? You're knocking Clemson out.
But you've got to,
eventually it has to be done. I just think that, you know, those teams, what's tough is those teams have sustained success and they're winning 10, 11, 12 games every single year. And so Florida State just winning 10 games one or 2 years doesn't automatically supplant what Ohio State's done for the last decade, right? So you're not kicking Ohio State out. Well, you're not kicking Bama out. You're not kicking Georgia out. So the prospects of this year finishing top five, even with a 10-win season, to me seem pretty slim because those teams you're competing for, the Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio States, they're all winning. They've all won 10 games year after year, and they're not letting up anytime soon. So I think I think you have to start to take those smaller steps up, right? This year has to be about getting inside the top 10. And if that's 8, that's 8, right? If that's 10, that's 10. Then it's about moving up. Can next year, can the 25 class be closer to 5? Can it be at 6, right? And then if you've won 10
games, the top 10 class continuously, you're going to finish with 10 wins pretty consistently, a step in the right direction, for sure.
You've got to really screw things up to not. So, I think that's where they need to be. I think that, you know, that's a big pressure situation. I think the other side of it is, like you said, Norvell has never had to motivate people with expectations. And this is what I had a couple conversations about this week. Somebody asked me, if you're Norvell, how do you keep the expectations and the news and the media and the press clippings and everything that everybody's saying, how do you keep that out of your players' minds? And here was my take. I want to get your take on this. I said, if I'm Norvell, I'm not. I want them reading everything that they see. I want them hearing all of it. And I want them to embrace it. And I want to tell them, yes, you are this good. Don't shy away from it. Don't hide from it. Don't be scared of it. You are this good. Now you've got to go out and prove it. Now you've got to go out and back it up. Because on paper, you're this good. Everyone thinks it. Everybody thinks you're going to be a top five team to start the year. Everybody thinks that Travis is a contender for the Heisman. There's a reason Vegas has you top 8 right now in championship odds. If I'm Norvell, I'm not wasting time trying to hide that from my players because, first of all, that's impossible with social media. That's impossible with, you know, our iPhones that we have out 90% of the day. I'm embracing it. I'm 100% saying, no. We're not shying away from any of this. You guys are a dang good football team. Now you need to go out and play like it. Read your press clippings. Yes, all of that that they're saying is about you. Now you need to live up to it. And so you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to live up to it or you're going to fall flat on your face because you couldn't live up to it. And so that's kind of – I think that's more of how I don't think there's any like trying to protect them from the noise or shield them from what people are saying. I mean, you know, Florida State started a freaking Heisman campaign for Jordan Travis.
Right. They're not shying away from it.
I don't think that they're trying to shy away from any of that. I think they're trying to embrace it. And the big thing for Florida State this year is it's all going to be in how they start, you know, LSU week 1 and Clemson week 4. And so you've got an and then from there, not that upsets can't happen, but if Florida State starts the year 4-0, I think they're going to the playoff, right? I think if they beat LSU and Clemson, I just don't think there's enough left on their schedule to worry me because you could drop a game throughout the rest of the year and you'd be fine. So I'm not predicting that. I don't think they start the year 4-0, but if you start 2-2, every goal that you had, well, you could still make the ACC championship. And so you could still get to theoretically 11-2 by winning the ACC championship, but then you're just going to a New Year's Six Bowl, right? Which again, if you'd have told me when he took over in year 4, you're going to New Year's Six Bowl, you're going to win the ACC, I probably would have taken that.
Right.
But I think that it's all about how quickly they start because it's all right there in front of you. You don't get Clemson in like late October, like you normally do. And so you have a lot of time to continue to build hype. It'll all be either realized or kind of extinguished pretty early. So thoughts on all that? Thoughts on embracing the hype and then
I would definitely not pull the, you know, like the way the Kansas City Chiefs presented themselves this year was so annoying to me. Like the everybody doubted us and blah, blah, blah. And literally no one doubted you. And this is your second Super Bowl in the last 4 years. Like literally no one was doubting you. This is dumb. So I would definitely not go that route. I almost think I would go the history and legacy route. Like, you guys have an opportunity to live up to this name and do something that this name used to do on a really regular basis. You have former guys that are, you know, that this program was built on their back. They're counting on you. You can bring some honor back to a name that used to carry a lot of clout in college football. You can do that. You are talented enough to do that. Are you going to take that step? Or are you going to be like the Florida State teams of late that drop a game that they shouldn't at least once a season that, you know, has been subpar? I mean, I might go the history and legacy way, but I mean, I don't think you can't hide it, right? Like you can't shield them from it. It's going to be on the news when they turn it on. It's going to be whatever. I just think you do have to be very careful of the, you are this good. Because we're talking about college kids that get big egos and big heads, and then you put NIL in there too and whatever, that I could see that going off the rails. But I would potentially put the pressure on them of, it is now up to you to bring the standard back. And you are capable of it. Let's see if you can live up to it. But I mean, I don't know. I definitely not shield them from it. Don't hide from it. There's not, that's not the right move, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I think it's a different coaching job that he has to do this year than he's ever had to do.
It's easier to coach when you have no expectations, right? And it's easier to motivate too, because you can say it's us against the world. Look at those newspaper clippings. Nobody believes in you. Nobody thinks you have a chance to make the conference championship game. Look at the Vegas odds. They don't think you're going to beat so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. Let's prove to them that you can. That's a much easier motivational tactic than like, yeah, you're good. Don't screw up.
Yeah, because when you lose those games, nobody cares, right? Hey, you were supposed to lose this game anyway. You lost to Clemson. I mean, we've all played this game, you know, at some point or another, but you lost to Clemson by 6. Hey, good job. You haven't beat him in 7 years, but at least this year you kept it close, right? Like, I'm sure that's not what Norvell was saying in the locker room,
Clemson is happy to sneak away with this one. Yeah, you guys gave it your all. You are in it to the last second. I am proud
one
of the
play,
effort.
Yeah. Forward. Next year is one
we
play
are
away,
so close.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be different this year, right? Now, I do think Clemson will be a favorite, and that game's on the road. And I think Clemson wins that game. But I think you'll probably get them in a rematch in Charlotte. And to me, that's, you know, the best case scenario for Florida State is you come out and you beat LSU. And then I think there's very little pressure on – there's going to be pressure. But I think there's less pressure on Florida State when they go and play at Clemson, right?
Right.
Because if you lose that game, you can still make the ACC championship with the new ACC format. And you'll get a chance in a rematch. And if you get a chance in a rematch on a neutral field –
everybody wants to be the team that lost the first game.
Sure. And if you beat LSU and you lose to Clemson, but then beat them in a rematch and you're 12-1 and 2-0 against the SEC and you've avenged your loss against Clemson, I mean, you're going to the playoff as the 12-1 ACC
champion.
So
let me ask you this. Let's say Florida State comes out and loses to LSU. How do you keep the train on the tracks from that, and especially from a hype perspective when they've listened to this all season long?
I think you do go back to some of that history stuff that you talked about, right? I think you go back to the fact that Florida State won their first national title by losing, you know, losing the game, and they still were able to come back and win it. Florida's won 3 national titles without going undefeated. Ohio State just a couple of years ago lost their opener against Virginia Tech and came out in 2014, won it all. So I think you kind of, you know, say every goal that we have in front of us is still there, right? If Florida State loses to LSU and then runs the table and goes 12-1 at that point, winning the ACC, I mean, they're still in the playoff. And so every goal that you would have in front of you is still there. So I think you're certainly let down. But, I mean, just last year, LSU lost to Florida State in week 1, and they still made it to Atlanta and still made it to the SEC championship.
Well, I mean, making it to Atlanta has nothing to do with losing week 1 to Florida State, though. I mean,
well, I'm just saying, like, I think the goals that Florida State's first goal this year is to make the ACC championship.
Make it to the ACC.
Right. And so LSU was able to do that last year. They lose an out-of-conference big hype game, and they still came out and upset Bama later in the year. And so I think that would, you know, the focus would shift. Hey, we lost to LSU. We need to go out and beat Clemson now, right? You know, if you lose that one, I think it's you still have a chance to make the ACC championship. You could still, at that point, you could still win the ACC by winning out and then beating Clemson a rematch. And then at that point, you're potentially, right, if you win all your other games, you're 10-2. You're going to the Orange Bowl because I think you finish like fifth or sixth. Like, I don't think you get in unless there's just like insane chaos. But so I think you're finishing like fifth or sixth. You're going to the Orange Bowl, and it's a chance to win a big game. Not the season you wanted, but again, I think it would mean a lot for Florida State to finally win the ACC and try and take the conference back from Clemson. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think if you lose to LSU, I think it's just, I mean, you just got to move on. I mean, yeah. Florida State's done a really good job of bouncing back. And, you know, they, I think they did a good job of bouncing back last year after losing, you know, they lost that Wake Forest game. And I thought they played really, really well in that first half against NC State and then just kind of like bone. But it wasn't like they lost that NC State game because they didn't get up for it, right? Like,
sure.
They played up and then just had a bunch of mistakes. And then the very next week, you had Clemson coming to town. And again, I think they played up for that game. I don't think they lost that. It wasn't a situation where they let one loss turn into another. So they did a good job bouncing back this year when they lost games. They did a good job bouncing back when there was adversity within games. You know, they trailed in the first half, both against Florida and Oklahoma. And those games were tied very late, and they had to go down for game-winning drives very late in both games. And so I think that they've done a good job of bouncing back under Norvell. And so, I'm not predicting like, oh, they lose to LSU. They'll just bounce back and beat Clemson because I think that game is very, very tough. But, you know, right. I don't think it'd be like, oh, man, they lost to LSU. Now everything goes off the rails. Fortunately, after LSU, they've got a pretty easy game against Southern Miss. They should win that. And they go on the road to BC. They should win that really no matter what. I mean, I think they could win games with their backup quarterback in. So, you know, they're going to be 2-1 at worst heading into Clemson. I think that'll be College Game Day's weekend, just looking at the other games that are going on. And so there'll be the hype and excitement around it. And so if they can, you know, they'll do their best to try and bounce back. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. If Florida State wins against LSU, I think they're ranked something like third or fourth in the country. You know, I think they're going to start the year around five, you know, anywhere from like 4 to 7 or 8, maybe 9, but that feels a little low. So I think they're going to start around 5. And if they win that game against LSU, I think you're going to be looking at a top 3 team in the country. If they beat Clemson 2 weeks later, I mean, yeah, they'll certainly be entrenched in that number, in that top 3, you know, somewhere in there if they start 4-0. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I cannot wait.
It is.
Unfortunately, we got a long time till the season starts, but I'm interested for spring ball to start up to kind of see what these teams look like, you know, with the transfers in, with some young guys in. It's going to be a fun offseason.
I think it will. If you guys watch this, if you listen to it, make sure to do us a favor and hit the thumbs up button here on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed. We'll try and keep doing this on Wednesday night if that works well for people. We've kind of gone back and forth between Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But if people like it on Wednesday, then we'll try and keep it consistent there. But we appreciate you guys for tuning in, for hanging out. Appreciate Brunt Insurance. You can give them a call at 954-589-2204 if you have any insurance needs anywhere in the great state of Florida, home, car, boat, motorcycle, RV, trailer, whatever you're looking for. Greg is a Florida Gator. Don't hold that against him, but he will talk college football with you, and then he'll save you some money on car, home, whatever kind of insurance you may need. BruntInsurance.com works. Or again, you can call them at 954-589-2204. Allie, you have anything before we wrap up? Anything else you want to talk about?
I think that's about it.
All right. That's all I've got. Tune in next week so we can hear Allie tell you guys how Florida State's going 12-0 and win it
Florida
all.
Florida State.
Well, I will be. Yeah, that's what I meant. I will be. You think I'm unbearable now? You think 10 wins?
I know. Stuff.
But you did get like 3 years.
You are unbearable.
Being better than us. So
I know, but you were unbearable during that time too. So
I was very well versed in how to spin. I feel like Barry Sanders sometimes just spinning around the.
I know you did have some good spin, and so it's interesting to hear your takes now versus then. But that's okay.
So I think next week we'll talk about. I think we'll talk a little bit about the returning production, what things look like, and then I think we'll kind of start to move into some spring talk after that. So appreciate you guys for hanging out. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Again, Make sure you're subscribed. Hit that thumbs up button. Chat with us down in the comments, and we will talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.
Go Gators.